Today on Lasting Hope, Pastor Greg Spires.
God wants us to affirm who He is. This is a shock to many of us. The center of the universe is not us. The center of the universe is God Himself, and everything about Him making Himself known to us is designed to get ourselves off of worshiping ourselves and to worship Him instead.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. For the Israelites freed from slavery to Egypt, God's offer to enjoy His presence, power, and promise didn't seem very appealing in exchange for the standard of holiness God desired of them. In fact, while Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments on a mountaintop, God's chosen people turned to the idolatry of their own creation, a golden calf. Here's Pastor Greg with more from our study series in Exodus.
Exodus 32, missing God. Missing God. I just got to be upfront with you. We're going to talk about idolatry today. We're going to see this in the lives of the people of Israel, and I don't want to pull any punches. I want you to be able to see by the end of the time, this is a normal thing for us to do. It's a normal default position of the human heart is to be willing to put up with a cheap imitation of what God offers, and we end up missing God Himself. Missing God. First thing we do, verses 1 through 6, Exodus 32, missing God because we are blind to His presence. We are blind to His presence. Look at verse 1 of Exodus 32. The people saw that Moses was delayed in coming down the mountain. Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, having a conversation with God and receiving from God the covenant, the promise of God. It was a long time in coming, and so the people go to Aaron, the priest, Moses' brother, and say, listen, we don't know what's going on with Moses. He went up on Volcano Mountain, and we think he's probably dead. What we need is a God we can worship. So they go to Aaron, and he says, make for us gods who will go before us. So Aaron tells them, take off your earrings, throw them onto a tarp, and he turns their gold earrings and jewelry into an idol that looks like a calf. Probably what it was a wooden cow that they then covered with gold that they could worship. And this is what he says. Down in verse 4, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar, and he said, tomorrow we will have a feast. That's a worship festival. And they rose up the next day, and they had their festival, and the people sat down, and they ate, and they drank, and then they had a bit of a party. Moses is gone for 40 days. God, as far as their minds are concerned, is absent. He's history. We don't know what's going on. God isn't here. We need a God, so we will make a God of our own making. And so they cast an idol. And what we have to understand about this idol, they weren't necessarily abandoning the idea of God. What they needed was something to show them God was physically there. I don't know how they came up with cow. Probably it was because of their time in Egypt. Now, God hadn't gone anywhere. He was right up on the mountain with Moses, but that wasn't tangible for them. They couldn't see Him. They couldn't talk to Him. All they could see was the smoke and the lightning. And as far as they were concerned, Moses was now dead. They needed someone they could connect with. This God, I could walk up to Him and pet Him on the head if I wanted. He's right there. I know where He is. He is tangible. He is meaningful. There's no mystery to it. There's no question about it whatsoever. And this is what we do because we want to have a tangible, meaningful encounter with God Himself. And why don't we have a tangible, meaningful encounter with God? What's the problem? We abandoned Him. We said, we want to do it our way. We sinned against Him. We said, God, you've got some great ideas. I think mine are better. My ideas are better because it means my life gets to be lived my way. And the result of sin is it separates us from God. And we say, we are separated from God. And then we go, where's God? So He didn't go anywhere. We walked away. We miss God because we're blind to His presence, and so we create stuff which we can see. couple of things we put in that spot: money, family, work. God is very nice, but he doesn't show up and pay bills. I can't write God on the bottom of a medical bill. The problem is what that reveals is a blindness to God's presence. We think just because the stuff we want handled isn't handled, we think God must be gone. It could just be that we've got our eyes on the wrong set of priorities. Missing God, we're blind to his presence. Okay, look at Exodus 32, 7 through 14. There's two symptoms of blindness, and then we'll look at this other section. Two symptoms of it. Number one, either we think his holiness is achievable, that means we can be good enough to have a relationship with God, or his holiness is harmless, meaning I can't be as good as God, but he's not dangerous. So missing God, being blind to God, means usually either I think I can be good enough to know him, or he's better than me, but not that much better, and so he's harmless. The result is this: we're unimpressed with his holiness. Missing God, we're unimpressed with his holiness. Exodus 32, verse 7, we read it. Lord says to Moses, go down, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. And God says this: let me alone that I may consume them. I am going to destroy them. I am going to make a great nation instead out of you, Moses. God is saying, no, my holiness requires holiness. We're missing God when we are unimpressed with his holiness. The idol of a cow seems somewhat reasonable. To worship the cow, you do have to show up for cow worship time. You do have to make a sacrifice. You do have to make an offering. You do have to show up and do the thing. That seems reasonable. We can show up for cow worship time. God, on the other hand, he seems a little high-strung and overbearing. I mean, you break one little rule and you're cast out of the camp. You have to walk around yelling unclean. You mess one little thing up and he's going to smote you. Let you in on something here. Look at the end of this passage. God says this in verse 14. The Lord relented from the disaster he had spoken of bringing on his people. Verse 14, the Lord relented. So one thing we can say, God is being unreasonable because he should have brought judgment. What was the reason God didn't bring judgment? Simply because Moses intervened on behalf of the people and reminded God of his covenants. He said, God, you have made a promise you'll take them to the promised land, and God, you're a forgiving God. And God relented his judgment on them because Moses appealed to God based on God's nature. Moses appeals to God. He stands in the gap, appeals to God on behalf of the people. And it was because Moses stood in between God and the people that God turned away his wrath from destroying the people. Let me put it this way, the way we might say it in a New Testament verse in 1 Corinthians. While they were still sinning, Moses prayed for them. Because Moses hadn't come down the mountain yet, had he? So while they were still having their festival, I'm being polite, Moses was up on the mountain saying, God, forgive them. Moses didn't appeal to God and say, God, lower your standards. Why don't you just accept people who do this? What he does instead is say, God, you are a God who redeemed these people out of Egypt. They were sinners back then. Guess what? They still are. Redeem them. And God hears Moses' prayer while they are still sinning, and God relents from his judgment. They're missing God because they are unimpressed with his holiness. If God's holiness is something we can achieve, then we don't need Jesus to stand in the breach for us. If God's holiness is something you and I can accomplish, what do we need Jesus for? If we can be good enough to get God, why in the world did we take communion today? You see what I'm saying? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The point is this: the reason we need Jesus is because God is holy. Another way we can put it is this: as long as I lower God's holiness standards, it lowers what Christ had to do for me. The more I understand how holy God is, and the more I understand how not holy I am, the more I appreciate what Jesus did. The holier God is, which is beyond my comprehension, the better I am willing to grapple with my not holiness, the more I look at Jesus and say, oh man, thank you. If you don't appreciate what Christ did for you, and that comes and goes in the Christian life, it generally isn't because God isn't awesome. Generally, it's because I think I am. We want to live our Christian life to get to a point where we don't need Jesus anymore, when what the Bible actually does for us is the closer we get to God, the more we realize we need Jesus again. We miss God when we're unimpressed with his holiness, and then we settle for cheap substitutes. If God's holiness doesn't impress sinners, how about God's promises? Look at Exodus 32, 15 through 29. We're going to end on this section. Missing God because they were unrestrained by his promises. On the one hand, you would think maybe God's holiness on the mountain would keep them from sinning. It didn't. Maybe God's good promises would keep them from sinning. I had a professor once. I was over at his home because he was an uncle to my roommate, and he was writing a book he'd been commissioned to write. And he came out from working on his typewriter. Of course, this is a long time ago, sorry. And he said, "Oh, Dr. Benware, you're almost done with your book." He said, "I just finished chapter. It was Thanksgiving. We were over to his house." And so he came out and was getting a piece of pie. And he said, "Guys, you need to understand this. We're college students. This is how I do it. I finish a chapter, I get a piece of pie. It's how it rolls." He said, "This is how you do it. You reward yourself. You set a goal. When you finish your goal, you get a piece of pie." I mean, it's Thanksgiving. There's pie for days in the refrigerator, right? It could be something else. Like, get up on Saturday morning. "Hey, if I get these chores done, I'll give myself some ice cream," right? So we think, if we have these good promises from God, certainly it's going to lead us to abandon all other good things and pursue God alone. And it turns out, silly illustration, it doesn't work that way. And it didn't work that way for the people either. Look at verse 15. Moses turned and went down the mountain. He had the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. The tablets were written on both sides, on the front and on the back. They were written. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the handwriting of God himself. So on these tablets certainly were the Ten Commandments. But we must understand, the covenant of God is much bigger than just a set of rules. What this was this. You have the distinct privilege of having a relationship with the God of the universe, and God is merely saying, this is how that relationship needs to function. God is just simply saying, listen, you get to have a relationship with me. I will provide the means for you to relate to me, and I'm going to show you how that relationship functions. And see, you're not offended by that in any other relationship in your life. Your marriage, your boss, your friends, all of them, you sort of figure out how the relationship functions. And God has just come to them, and he sort of defined the relationship. Here's how this is going to roll. You want a relationship with the God of the universe? You can have it, and here's the terms of that relationship. And all of that covenant did was define for them how they enjoy the benefits and blessing of relationship with God, which was their crop would never fail, they would never be invaded, they would live in homes they did not build, eat from vineyards they did not plant, and drink from cisterns they did not dig. That's a verse somewhere. It's a really good covenant. All of the benefits of having relationship with God. So God makes all of these promises. He offers his presence and he offers his power. And what do? Have a party. A party to celebrate some other God who will allow them to have benefits, they hope, without all these rules. Oh my lands, are you serious? Get over yourself. Really? I want to have the benefits of a God who does everything I want without him actually having an idea of what a relationship looks like. And see, in religious terms, we understand, well, I think God's kind of overbearing. Okay, so try it. Okay, if you're married, do this. Go to your spouse after church. Say, you know what? I want to be married, and I want to do whatever I want. I might be home sometimes. Most of the time, I'm not. Just going to be honest. Want a relationship on the side. It's just how I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm afraid to ask even in this. Are you okay with that? No, all of us, if we're having a relationship, we're going to have a relationship that honors and values the other person in that relationship with us. And all God is doing is coming and saying, listen, I am a personal God, and this is how you relate to me. Just like you have in any other relationship in your life. And what the people have said, boy, we don't like you. So we're going to create a God of our own that we like, and we will serve him. The idol is here. The idol is present. The idol in some way doesn't offer me anything, but on the other hand, it requires nothing. They're missing God because God's promises were made to them, and God's promises, instead of restraining their fallen nature to serve the holy and present God, they said, No, we want to embrace our fallen nature, and we will find a God that affirms how I am today. I don't want to be expected to relate to you, God, based on who you are. I want you, God, to relate to me based on how I am. And so we create an idol of our own making. Here's what God wants. He wants us to get him. We want an idol that gets us. He wants us to relate to him. God wants us to seek him. God wants us to be present with him. God wants us to affirm who he is. And what we want in false worship is for God to get me and God to affirm me how I am right now and God to make no requirements in relationship between me and him. If he doesn't get me that way, I'll make a God of my own choosing. We miss God because we're unrestrained by his promises because we think his promises are primarily focused on us when in fact everything about our relationship with him is not focused on us. Instead, it is focused on him. This is a shock to many of us. The center of the universe is not us. The center of the universe is God himself, and everything about him making himself known to us is designed to get ourselves off of worshiping ourselves and to worship him instead. Because ultimately, that golden calf up on the shelf is not a golden calf. It's just a picture of us, isn't it? That's really all it is. They were just too embarrassed to make a picture of an idol of themselves. But at the end of the day, that's what the idol is. We look up and we see God is God of the universe, and that drives us nuts. Because that's the job I want. And God says, no, 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 it's going to work better for you if you recognize I am God of the universe. And when you come to me on those terms, you're going to find satisfaction in me alone. Look at Psalm 106, 21 to 22. Psalm 106, 21 and 22. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, that's the land of Egypt, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. God had done all these powerful works to bring himself glory. They received benefit by God seeking his own glory, and they forgot all of those things because once they got out into the wilderness, they realized the glory of God will not always bring immediate comfort and benefit. They were forgetful of the power of God in Egypt. They were forgetful that his purpose was his glory primarily. How does God receive the most glory? It's when we worship him according to his ways through thick and thin, good and bad, when we don't miss God. Okay, here, just review three things. Missing God because we're blind to his presence. If you are a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you, according to the Bible. When does the Holy Spirit go on vacation? He doesn't. He is always with us. No matter what we're doing, he's with us. When we're blind to God's presence, we'll act in any way we see fit. We're unimpressed by his holiness. We think God is just sort of cool with it. But if God is just sort of cool with how we are, why in the world did he die on the cross? He died on the cross because he needed a substitute to take our sin, because he wasn't cool with our sin. It needed to be paid for. Finally, we miss God because we're unrestrained by his promises. We enjoy God's benefits, but we wish his entire plan was focused on our comfort. Are you ready? Three questions. We're going to close with this. Is God near? It's a trick question. It's the wrong question. The better question is am I? The question is not, is God near? The question is, am I? The question is, do I seek the Lord? Second question. You've asked this before. Does God hear? Does God hear? Seek him in prayer. Does God hear me? Better question. You're not going to like this. I'm just giving you a heads up. You ready? Why should he? Why should he hear? Am I good enough that God should hear my prayer? Third question. What does God offer? What does God offer? What is it he's bringing to the table? Better question, what do I offer? Am I acceptable? How'd you answer those questions? Do I seek him? No, I'm helping you. Am I good enough for God to hear my prayer? Are you kidding me? No, let's just be honest. No, I'm not good enough for God to hear my prayer. What do I offer God? Do I offer something to God that is acceptable? No. How did Paul describe his good deeds? Do you remember? What was that word? Oh, filthy rags. That's disgusting. Good news. While we were still sinners, Jesus stood in the breach. He stood in the gap and said, I'll take it, God. I will take the wrath that should go on them. They don't get it. I do. Jesus stood in the breach, and when we weren't good enough for him to hear our prayers, and when we weren't seeking him, we were seeking ourselves, and when we were absolutely not acceptable, Jesus stood while we were still sinners, before we saw it, before we even knew we had a need, he stood there and said, no, I have this, Father. Put on me what should go on them. So the question becomes for you and I, really just two very, very easy questions. Number one, doesn't that sound really good? If it does, what it means is we just come to God with gratitude and thanks. Lord, thank you for saving me. May my life be lived as one who is saved. I don't need to get good enough for God to hear me because Jesus is good enough. I don't need to seek God because Jesus sought him for me. But I want my life to be an expression of devoted worship where I recognize God should have taken me out. He took Jesus out instead. And so I want my life to be a recognition that God saved someone as bad as me and as bad as you. Jesus is a better mediator even than Moses was.
Pastor Greg Spires has been assuring us that through Christ, we're made acceptable to the Almighty God by his offer of grace. And there's more lasting hope to come, including Greg's closing comments coming up in just a moment. During these uncertain times that we live, many people are experiencing fear about life in the future, especially if you read the daily news. But in Pastor Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter, he shares stories of hope and offers biblical wisdom that will encourage you in these challenging days. You can sign up to receive Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter when you go to lastinghope.org. That's lastinghope.org. Greg Spires is a lead pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. And if you don't have a church home of your own, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC. You can join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 9:30 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and we'd love to meet you in person. If you can't attend, we also continue to stream our services online at lastinghope.org. Just go to our website at 9:30 or 11 a.m. on Sunday and click on the link at the top of the website that says Watch Service Live. Again, go to lastinghope.org. Our website also has more information about Lasting Hope and the various ministries of FBC. Again, go to lastinghope.org. Finally, Lasting Hope is committed to bringing people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to know more about what it means to know God, we have a special page on our website that will walk you through the steps to knowing God. Just go to lastinghope.org and click on the link, Knowing God. And now here again is Pastor Greg with a final challenge for us to consider so that our focus remains on the ways leading to God rather than our own that would lead us astray.
Okay, look at Exodus 32:26. We're going to close with this verse. Moses went down to the camp. We didn't get time to spend on this, but he went down, he called out and he said, who's on the Lord's side? Come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered to him. Not the jeans designer. Levi was the one of the families, the priests. What were those guys doing while Moses was up on their mountain? Well, one of two things. Either they were partying. Other one, which maybe is less bad, but still awful. Nothing, as in like not telling people to stop partying. So there's really two options. One of them is they were part of the party. My guess is they were the DJs. There's a reason for that. The Levites are also going to be the song leaders in the temple later. So they knew how to do the music thing. Or if they weren't partying with them, at the very least they said, oh my lands, that's out of control. Let's just go back to the tent and play pinochle. Or whatever they did. When what they should have done as priests is they should have intervened. They should have shut it down. So what we have here is people who have encountered the holiness of God, and what we call it when they encounter the holiness of God and say, we were wrong, I want to live right. You know the fancy word we call that? Repentance. I'm right, you're wrong, God. I want my life to line up with your ways. And this is what the Bible calls us to do. When we encounter the presence of the living God and we have to determine, no, my ways should be God's ways, the question is not, is God going to figure out how to meet with me? The question is, am I willing now, ready to repent and say, God, my ways lead me away from you. I want your ways. There's two ways to do that. One, if you're not a believer, you can repent and say, God, I am dead without you. Save me. If you're a believer, many of us today are going, there's a whole bunch of things about my life that do not reflect that God has changed me. I need those things changed. God, I repent. I want that in my past and not my future. Let's not miss God.
Pastor Greg Spires closing out a message titled, Missing God, here on Lasting Hope. And that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue in the book of Exodus. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.